Thank you, John, and thank you, Rob, for obviously thinking about this and in organizing this symposium. And can everybody hear me in the back? Okay, great. So today, what I wanted to do, of course, after hearing Susie Legaspi, then that yes, you will see that yes, there are a lot of common themes about what we students at the O'Neill Lab did and what we felt. And today, what I wanted to do is just to point out some major themes that I saw Bob doing during his international work there. And the first thing is that I want to explain a little bit about the title here. And you'll see in a moment that the reason I put this here is that we used to call Bob Don Bob O'Neill in Honduras when he was at Zamorano. And Don means it's from the Latin, means Dominus, it's a Spanish and Portuguese term, it's an honorific title, and it refers to a nobleman. And if you knew Bob, and of course John mentioned a little bit about this, he made things work, and he made sure that you could go forward and make sure that you achieve your objectives. And of course, in Latin America, when you are able to do that, then people call you Don. I also told him that he had to be careful because there was also another definition of Don. And of course, you have to have a little bit of both to make things work in Latin America. Today, I will emphasize about what Bob's work was about and his connections with the Pan American College of Agriculture, which we also know as Zamorano. Of course, that's the place I graduated from. And he started these collaborations there early on when he was a PhD student. And here is the place there. And of course, we cannot talk about all the things that he did without pointing to his family. And you saw Susie obviously did the same thing. And of course, that's the O'Neill clan. And you'll get to see that they, all of them, actually understood other cultures. And they felt they made us feel very welcome. In fact, I consider them my family here in the US. And I'm pretty sure that Susie and others felt the same way. And so that was great. And of course, yes, he loved food. And of course, we love these things. And you can see, this is me with a few pounds less, just a few, and some other Zamorano students that were sharing with the O'Neill family there. And of course, this also was in January after our initial shock of being in West Lafayette. And of course, this made us feel very welcome. And he did this with a lot of the Zamoranos and a lot of the people that came from other countries. So of course, we felt very welcome. And this, of course, there is nothing less like word of mouth. And after all these feeling so welcome, then of course we said to other students, hey, it's pretty cool to be in here. And this led to a lot of things. Among them, he was able to attract up to 40 students to Purdue that collaborated with a lot of different programs. And they came from at least 10 different countries. And again, this is something that he started, and it was great. We felt very welcome, and a lot of them went to the master's and PhD programs. Of course, he was a very good teacher, and he graduated 4 PhD students, some Zamoranos among them, and 14 master's students, and there are some Zamoranos also that continue towards PhD students. And so he was a great teacher. He also was involved in attracting students to different programs. There were 8 other students that went to obtaining BS degrees in other fields, masters in education, and MBA degrees. And so there were a lot of people that went to the other departments like forestry, natural resources, agricultural economics, food science, tourism, foods and nutrition, entomology, of course, animal science, education, and management. So you can see the breadth of all these efforts. But the lasting legacy is that there were other programs that came from these initial ideas that Bob introduced. There are a lot of Zamoranos now at the University of Illinois. The one, of course, that I'm more familiar about is the one at Ohio State University, where we have now 25 students. And everything, I took a lot of Bob's ideas to continue his work. There are 2 PhD students now and 7 master's students. 3 of them have finished already their programs. And I know that there are also other students in University of Arkansas, University of Kentucky, and there are others as well that I am not including here. And so this is the lasting legacy. I know that this will continue on, and again, above it started with this, he planted the seeds of all these programs. He was not only interested in teaching, he was also interested in outreach and opening our minds to research overseas. And as John and Rob mentioned before, he was very instrumental in developing the Midwest Institute. And here you see a picture of, and I know several of us are here, that went to this this Midwest Institute program in Honduras. Here are the participants on that workshop. And yes, some of you are there, right, Eric? And we had a lot of fun. And not only that, we came with this idea that, okay, not only is cool to do research overseas, but then you can establish a lot of collaborations. Of course, Bo was always pushing forward, making sure that everything was done properly and that people would catch a lot of ideas and were able to collaborate among each other. Here we see some of the participants taking field samples, and this again allowed the participants to know about some of the work that was being done in terms of biological control in Central America, but also some of the challenges that are found there. Some of the things that came out from all of Bob's ideas, one of them was of course the Midwest Institute, and this, the one that happened in Honduras, was called the International Aspects of Biological Control. But not only that, but also was very instrumental into developing the Purdue Study Abroad program, and that is still active, where there were 85 students from Purdue, Illinois, North Dakota State, Texas A&M, Florida, Iowa State, Colorado State that went to Zamorano. So again, this was a great experience for students. And they not only learned about their culture, of course, there were a few couples that actually got married from this cultural exchange. So, of course, that's a big proof that, yes, it did work. In 2004, he also was involved in developing a trip to Cuba with 12 students. And again, from all of these ideas, there were other departments that were very interested in establishing collaborations. And for example, the School of Education at Purdue started working with the elementary school at Zamorano, and again, there were really nice programs that came from that. And then the Spanish department also opened a class about Spanish so that students that went to this study abroad program would have a chance to learn a lot of the language and a lot of the culture. So again, you see all these connections that came from his ideas. Okay, I cannot talk about research without telling you how much fun we had when we were doing research in Central America. And of course, Bob liked it a lot. And in fact, we had so many adventures that, of course, Indiana Jones will feel proud about this. Bob liked to drive. And he got pretty excited when I told him that speed limits in Central America for practical purposes are just a suggestion. And so we had a lot of fun. And of course, this led us to a lot of different places. And for example, we got to learn about places that I never been to in some of the Central American countries. Places like this where we will go and try to find beetles. In this case, it was for a foreign exploration project where we wanted to find out natural enemies that could be used against the Colorado potato beetle. And so we went to places like this, and we had a lot of fun exploring and finding plants, finding the beetles. Here is Bob, of course, working very hard, and this is the kind of terrain, the kind of places where we went to. And these are some of the plants, some of the Solanum plants that we had to look for, and we tried to find beetles over there. And again, as Susie pointed out, it was very hard work, but he always had fun doing this, and obviously we learned all that from him. From all these efforts came different papers, and I'm going to point some of the key papers here. One of the recent ones where Bob actually summarized some of the findings in Central and South America, he reported that we have found an egg parasitoid larval parasitoids, tachinids that attack the, in this case, the, this relative of the Colorado potato beetle, a microsporidium organism, and also an ectoparasitic mite. In another paper that actually this was, this came from my PhD thesis, then we found that the main mortality factors that attack, that caused the mortality of the Colorado, of these Leptinotarsa species were beetles that attack the larvae and also tachinids. My wife also got her master's degrees with Bo, and she did some work with the egg parasitoid that that attacked the beetle, and she found out that the optimal temperature was 24 degrees Celsius, but one of the populations that we found in a cold area in Honduras then actually did pretty well at 15 degrees Celsius, opening up the idea that maybe we could find a biotype that could be adapted to cold regions. Of course, we had a chance to visit a lot of cool places. And here, of course, as you can see, we're looking for beetles. And this is me, of course, the grad students carrying all the bags. But nevertheless, as we were trying to look for the beetles, we happened to stumble upon Copan, the Mayan ruins, and of course we had to stop and take a look. It was great, it was awesome, and always, let's give, he always said, try to give yourself a time to kind of enjoy what you're doing. Another area of our research that he enjoyed a lot was to see how the small-scale growers did plant their corn and made a living in Central America. And this led, again, to some key papers about subsistence agriculture. And this work was done by Chris Wykos. And here, for example, he found out on these papers that if you have fields, corn fields, that are surrounded by plants that had a lot of flowers and a lot of ground cover, then that decreases the population of a fall armyworm, a pest, a significant pest of corn. In this other paper, then Chris and Bob found that there were a lot of arthropods, natural enemies associated with fall armyworm, and in this case, the main predator was Adermaptera, was the earwig there. And in another paper, in this case, this was my master paper, then we found out that an idea that came from growers in terms of using sugar to attract natural enemies actually decreased, was associated with decrease on fall armyworm populations. But it was mostly associated with the fact that when they did this, they didn't spray a lot on the fields. And this has led to a lot of other research in terms of how we use some of these other types of foods to attract natural enemies. Now, another thing that Bob was really great about is in terms of establishing collaborations. He worked with a lot of people, and he got them together, and you will see these themes throughout all these presentations. And here there are some students, some faculty members, of course Rob and Ron Cave, and others that were instrumental into developing some of the main ideas that were done in not only in Zamorano, but in other Latin American countries. And of course, one of the things that he always said is that, yes, you always have to have fun when you are doing your work. And Susie also pointed out to this. And so we always did, and I still do, and I use a lot of the main ideas that Bob had in my life as well. And so with that, I finish my presentation, and thank you very much.